Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056. Or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
Amen. We would like to thank you so much for being a part of our Tuesday night Bible study here at Praise Tabernacle Church. I'm your brother, Brother Omar Zachary. Amen. And we're so grateful to be in the land of the living. And we'd like to officially, I think this is the official first time on a Tuesday night, welcome all the saints and friends over in London, England. And we are so excited about the doors that God is opening for our church, amen, Praise Tabernacle Church, to be airing live and to be able to spread the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So to every pastor, every listener that's over there in London, England, we bid you Godspeed and we thank God for you, and we pray that as you listen to this Bible study tonight or in the morning, whenever you have chance to listen to it, we know that it's going to be a blessing for you and to you. And we just thank you so much for opening up your doors for us to be a part of your lives. Amen. We are located physically at 877 North Clayton Street, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046. Amen. If you would like to send us something, or if you'd like to send a letter or what have you, you can do so. Amen. We just thank you so much. Amen. Tonight, our normal Tuesday night Bible study, we're going to be led tonight by the one and the only evangelist, Dove Stanton. We thank God for her. We're going to be leading us tonight. We also may have some of our other leadership team on, as usual, my precious wife, Lady Zachary. She may be chiming in. Elder Richard Taylor, he's been a little bit under the weather over the past few days, so let's keep him in prayer. Also, Elder Victor Bluett and Elder Derek Oliver, Mr. Chaos himself. Amen. So without further ado, we're going to say a short prayer, and the next voice you hear will be that of Evangelist Dove Stanton to take us further into our Tuesday night Bible study. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We come before you tonight as humble as we know how. Outstretched hands, hearts open, eyes open to receive what the Spirit is saying to us on tonight. And we pray that you would send your anointing that makes teaching easy. Crown the woman of God's mouth tonight. Give her the words to say. Speak through her that whatever is spoken on tonight will be an encouragement. Let it convict and let it encourage these your people, everyone that chimes in, everyone that listens in on tonight. We pray that they get a special blessing through the teached gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Evangelist Stanton, the service is in your hands.
Well, I appreciate that. Good evening, good afternoon, good day to all of our listeners. We're so excited that you decided to join us on this Tuesday night Bible study. We are excited for our new listeners in London, and we pray that this Bible study would be a blessing to you. Tonight, I would like for everybody to get their Bible and their pencil and their paper, and we are going to come out of Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37. That's Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through verse 37. And while everybody is getting that in their Bible, I just kind of want to get this Bible study set up a little bit. I just want to tell you what's going on before we get to verse 33. We see Jesus feeding and healing on the Sabbath day. And, of course, the Pharisees, they don't like this. They don't like that Jesus is going about healing and feeding on the Sabbath day. And the people see what Jesus is doing, and they question and said, isn't this the son of David? And the Pharisees begin to hear that. And then the Pharisees come back with a statement that says, no, this is somebody casting out demons, devils, but by Beelzebub. In other words, Satan casting out demons. That's what they were saying. The Pharisees, they were very learned men, very legalistic, but they would not acknowledge Jesus. They accused him of using Satan's power to cast out demons. They blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, and they talked about Jesus. And so that's what's going on right before we get to this verse 33 that we're going to visit on tonight. And tonight the verse reads, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Jesus tell them to give up this double standard that they're holding on to and to make a decision on Jesus and his works. They knew sickness and disease and demonic possession and sin came from Satan. They also knew healing, casting out demons, and forgiveness came from God. Jesus was performing good fruit, but they were claiming that he was a bad tree. So Jesus tells them to drop the double standard. They either have to look at the fruit and say it's good and thus admit that the tree is good also, or they must determine the tree is bad, in which case they would have to say the fruit is bad also. And Jesus was like saying, it's time to make a decision. Either I'm good and the fruit is good, or I'm bad and the fruit is bad. You must determine. And tonight, we all must make that decision. Either Jesus is who he claimed he is, or he's not. If he is, then follow him. If he's not, then don't follow him. But one thing we can't do is say that he is the Christ and not follow him. For then we have the same hypocrisy as the Pharisees. They couldn't deny the fruit, but they wouldn't accept the tree. So Jesus' proposition, which is also our proposition, we need to determine what to do with Jesus. We need to determine what to do with Jesus. Are we going to walk with him? Are we going to accept him as our Lord and Savior? Are we going to say that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah? We need to determine what to do with Jesus. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. So we have to be mindful of that on tonight. Jesus, what, the heart condition, what is our decision? What do we choose on today? I have on my bathroom mirror, I have the words, "I choose God today." Every morning when I get up, I announce, "I choose God today," so that I can hear it, so that the enemy can hear it. So I'm making a decision in my heart that when I leave out this door, I'm choosing God. And in choosing God, I'm choosing his fruit. And in choosing God, my fruit should bear witness to that. Pastor, is there anything you would like to say about verse 33 before we move on to verse 34?
No, I'm enjoying it, my sister. Go ahead. Let the Lord use you.
Verse 34 says, "O generation of vipers, how can he, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So Jesus starts off by calling them vipers. Vipers are deadly, poisonous rattlesnakes. They were promoting a false religion based on legalism and works. And just as a snake venom is deadly to the body, their religious venom was deadly to the soul. That was the Pharisees in a nutshell. They were spreading deadly poison among the people. Then Jesus explains the problem to them. He tells them and everyone listening why the Pharisees can't bring themselves to confess Jesus as Lord. And we see that in that 34 portion of B. How can being evil speak good of things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And there it is. What was in their heart was bad. The Pharisees should have spoken what was good and confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they couldn't because of what was in their heart. I wrote, according to Jesus, an evil heart can't speak of good things, nor can a good heart speak of evil things. I do have a scripture reference. I have a scripture reference coming out of James chapter 3 that goes along with this. And it reads chapter 3, verse 11 through 12. Once again, that's James chapter 3, verse 11 through 12. It says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and flesh." A tongue of cursing and bitterness is from a heart or thoughts that are bitter and full of cursing. A tongue that speaks hatred or gossip is from a heart or thoughts that are full of hatred and gossip. A tongue that lies or stretches the truth is from a heart or thoughts that are deceptive. a tongue that blesses and loves and encourages is from a heart or thought that do these things. Is your mind full of cursing or bitterness or hatred or deception? Sooner or later, guess what? It's going to come out of your mouth. For the word says, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. In other words, you can tell the condition of a person's heart by the substance of their speech.
Yes. Now,
that's a hard thing.
Yes.
That's a self-examining. Let me examine what my heart is. Think of it this way.
Yes.
Your words are being recorded. And if you got to hear the playback of your words on just the last 3 days, what would you hear?
Wow.
Think about that. If you got to hear the playback of every word that you spoke in the last 3 days, what would you hear and what would it say about you?
Wow.
Pastor, you want to have anything to say before
I go on to verse 55? My sister, I'm sitting here thinking, I've often said this, and I remember my own father teaching and talking about this, the simple fact, if you talk to a person long enough, you'll find out what's in them. You know, you ain't got to say much. The only thing you got to do is a couple of W words. What? Why? When? Where? What happened? And by the time you say a couple of those W words, you know, the person will really let you know what's in them. And you can only hide your true intentions but for so long. Eventually, okay, something is going to happen where your real feelings, how you really are, what your real intentions are, is going. And it could be years. God knows, I can testify that there are situations where you thought people were one way, but it could take years before that thing to really come out, where you really see what's in them. And even if it takes years, it's going to come out. So, you know, you just let a person talk, let them keep talking. Eventually, their real heart is going to show. They can hide it and put it and cover it up, but for so long, eventually something is going to happen. And then you're going to be like, wow, bro or sister, I didn't know you felt that way. And then you say that, the next thing you know, well, I've been feeling this way for years. I just didn't say nothing. Wow, so it took years for you to really, you know, for your true colors. That was an old commercial, and it was a song years ago when I was growing up that said, I see your true colors shining through. And
that,
so, yeah, you're doing a great job. That's what I got on that so far.
Man, and to piggyback on that, Pastor, people holding on to things, like you said, for years, they have to practice holding on to those things.
Yes.
They have to rehearse it in their mind. They have to rehearse it in their thoughts so that it can stay there.
Yes.
And that's not good. That's not good to hold on to things, because those things begin to cause dis-ease in your body.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's why, you know, people walk around with serious high blood pressure, or, you know, with ailments, because they're holding on to things that happened to them instead of forgiving. They're rehearsing it in their mind. They're practicing it over and over in their mind, and those things are causing dis-ease.
Yes.
And God has called us to forgive. But that's one of those heart conditions. Are we really forgiving? You know, are we just saying that, oh, I forgive you, but when we leave that person, we go home and say, You know, I'm not going to let this go. I'm not going to let this loose, you know, and begin to make vows to hold on to it. And too often people have done that.
Yes.
Too often. So it's a heart condition. Jesus is trying to get us to look at what our fruit really is. What our fruit really is. We're going to go on to verse 35. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The reason the Pharisees couldn't speak good of Jesus is because their heart wasn't good. They can only speak evil. Now, they were learned men. They knew, but they just wasn't willing to accept who Jesus
right.
is. They needed
right.
repentance, not education, but they needed repentance, just like we need repentance. They didn't
right.
need a better role model. They didn't need a cleaner culture. They needed to repent and ask God
mm-hmm.
for forgiveness. You can't overcome a carnal heart without repentance before God.
Amen. Amen.
You've got to go before God and ask him to forgive you. You have got to fall on the rock. You've got to go before God with a broken and contrite heart and ask him
mm-hmm.
to forgive you in order to change. Pastor, you want anything to say?
Yeah, I'm while you're talking about the Pharisees, I forgot what that message was I just preached probably last week sometime, dealing with them, and it's just great that you're dealing with them again tonight. When you begin to mess up people's position and their mm. their power, because we understand from Malachi to the prophecy of John the Baptist, it was approximately over 400 or so years that God, you know, as theologians and scholars say, God was quiet, you know, from the Old Testament, from Malachi to the prophecy of John the Baptist coming on the scene. So the Pharisees had set up shop, you know, and you talked about their position of power, you know, emphasizing the law, making sure others did the law, followed the Mosaic law. Then you had the Sadducees that were kind of contrary, and they say the Sadducees were a little more powerful, some would say, than the Pharisees. But Jesus came on the scene, and he was doing the exact opposite of what the Pharisees had been telling the people. So Jesus comes on the scene, and it pretty much wrecks what the Pharisees and the scribes and Sadducees had been telling the people for years. You know, you shouldn't do this on the Sabbath. You know, you should do this. You shouldn't do that. Why are you doing this, that? And then Jesus comes on the scene and totally wrecks their political, you know, their political, their religious status, their political status. And then you got this one man that comes on the scene and says, well, I know y'all been told to do this, but I'm going to show you a better way. So could you imagine the governmental authority, the religious figures of that time, by one man that calls himself the Son of God, or, you know, is doing all these miracles, and now Jesus is calling them hypocrites? Could you imagine, you know, how he threatened the threat he made against the religious leaders of that time? And God knows we need some folk now that have threatened some of these religious leaders now, some of these bishops, some of these so-called apostles, some of these pastors that are just doing any and everything and won't nobody say nothing to them. So we got to have some folk. If you got Jesus in you, yes, Jesus is a meek and humble lamb, but he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. So, you know, we got to stand up and say something contrary to what may be popular. There are some things that's in Scripture that some folks don't like you to preach on because it's not popular. But it's our duty as men and women of God to stand on God's word wholeheartedly, and you can't worry about who is going to offend all the time. Right. The gospel is an offense. Jesus offended the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's all about, you know, pricking the heart. He offended this religious institute that had been established. He offended them and showed the people a more excellent way. So anytime we get from preaching Jesus and teaching Jesus to preaching our philosophy, preaching, you know, other stuff, preaching politics, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. So we got to stick with preaching and teaching the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to help this world. That's the only thing that's going to change lives. Not your philosophy, not your doctrine, not your religious ideology. Stick with preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And that's it, Pastor. The word is there to prick our hearts for us to get it right. There to prick our hearts for us to get it right. I mean, it's time out to talk a good talk, but to walk what we're talking.
Yes.
No, it's time out, you know, to make ourselves look good before people, because you know what? Before people, it's not going to matter. Before God, it matters. And God sees you. God knows you behind those closed doors. God
That's
knows
right.
what you were doing. And people, I don't know if people just forgot, but God can see you. God can hear you. God knows your heart. And that's what he's trying to get now. It's a heart matter. What are you going to choose? What choices are you making daily? Daily, every moment, what choices are you making? Because you are the one that ultimately chooses. So God doesn't tempt you with sin. You choose.
That's right.
You make the decision.
Yeah.
You make the decision. So verse 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Even the idle words will be counted. And what Jesus reveals is that there are no insignificant words. There are no meaningless words that come out of a person's mouth. Everything they say matters, and everything will be judged. You see, a person can control their mouth at least part of the time, like Pastor was saying, just continue to let them talk. But eventually, what is in the heart will come forth. And when it does, the person can't claim that it was just careless talk. For even careless words have weight and will be judged. When I was looking at this scripture, one thing that came to my mind was the Miranda rights. And if you know what the Miranda rights are, they're the rights that a police officer says when they get a defendant, when they're getting ready to arrest them. And I was looking at the first two Miranda rights, and the first one says, "You have the right to remain silent." Silence cannot be used against a defendant in the court. So in other words, if you don't say anything, then they don't have anything to use. And then the second one says, "Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law." So what you do allow to come out of your mouth can be used against you. Well, it's the same way in this walk. Just because you can curse somebody out doesn't mean you should curse them out. Just because you can say you're sick and tired doesn't mean you should say it. Because what you're doing is you're giving birth, you're giving life to those words. So I just want to remind everybody, you have the right to remain silent. If you're not speaking life, remain silent. If you're not speaking encouraging words, remain silent. If you're not speaking love and forgiveness, remain silent. If you're not speaking health and wellness, remain silent. Because if you don't remain silent, anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. Those idle words will come against you. Those idle words will come against you. Remain silent. Practice silence if you need to.
That's good.
And you don't have to remain silent. Pastor, you have anything you would like to say?
You know, this is such great, great home teaching tonight. I'm thinking about how many times have we heard, and maybe we are guilty of even saying, I just had to give her, or I just had to give him a piece of my mind. And some of y'all, some of us have given so many pieces of our mind that we done went crazy. We ain't got no more pieces. We ain't got nothing else to give. I think that was, I don't know if that was you, Evangeline, or Elder Bluette. Might even be Elder Taylor that taught the message about a month or so ago about the tongue and how no one can tame it. So we grew up and we heard our parents say, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all.
Right.
You know, and that was an old proverb that, you know, we was kind of, you know, raised on, and we heard it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words are never hurt. And once I got grown, I found out that wasn't all the way true, because it depends on who says it. It depends on who those words come from. If the right words come from the right person, it can hurt you. You know, I've often used the illustration about my own family. If my wife says I'm not a good husband, you know, that can bother me. That can hurt me. If my children say I'm not a good father, that can bother me. You know, that'll hurt me. But if somebody else's child say I'm not a good father, you know, then that doesn't, you know, that's pretty much, that's just their opinion. That doesn't have as much weight. So, you know, let's just be mindful that, especially for those of us that's claiming the name of Jesus Christ, to even be careful on the words that come out of our mouth. Because as you stated, we got to give an account for every idle or unprofitable word that comes out of our mouth. We're going to be held accountable for that. There is a record. There's a record being taken on what we allow to come out of our mouth. So we should be more careful than what we are.
Exactly. And we should stop and think. I mean, you know, too often people just want to blurt something, or they just want to say the first thing in their mind, but we should just stop and think and see and listen and hear our own selves. You know, because sometimes we want to hurt the people that hurt us, but we don't have to do that. We don't have to hurt the people that hurt us.
That's right.
It may not even been intentionally, but, you know, we have the thing, I need to get back, you know, I need to clap back, I need to, you know, get back at them. And no, you don't need to clap back. You just need to remain silent. You need to remain silent and let God deal with it, you know. Let God deal
Amen.
With it. So it's not yours anyway. It's the Lord.
So, you know, let him do this. But too often, you know, we think we've got to do something about it. You know, that's just the thing to do. But no, it isn't. Let God deal with it. Be mindful of what you're saying. Be mindful of what you're saying to your kids. You know, I've heard parents, you know, say to their children, you're stupid or you're dumb. And the authority that you have as a parent speaking into your child's life is a great authority, not to be abused. You are shaping that young person. And if you speak life and if you speak wisdom and if you speak knowledge and if you tell them that they are great and they're going to be great, and the more they hear it, don't you know they will believe it? But it's the same way with those other words. If you keep saying to them that they're stupid and you keep repeating that over and over again, then they're going to believe that.
Right.
So I want everybody to be mindful that even the relationship, it's marriage. Be careful what you say. Young people, be careful what you say to your parents, because you're going to give an account for every idle word. If it is not speaking life, it's an idle word. If it's not encouraging, it's an idle word. If it's not uplifting, it's an idle word. So be careful of what you're saying. Remain silent. Remain silent. And then our last verse, verse 37, says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Jesus is indicating that the words are an accurate measure of the heart and therefore an accurate standard by which to judge mankind. If a heart is righteous, it will prove it with righteous words. If a heart is wicked, it will prove it with wicked words. And based upon a person's words, their heart is revealed and their judgment is set. So tonight I want to ask you, what does your heart look like? What does your speech sound like? What do you focus on? If your words indicate a carnal heart, then your option is to repent and ask Christ to give you a new heart. Ask him to give you a heart that follows him. Confess him and speak truth and righteousness. It all starts with the heart, and only Christ can change it. And I was looking at, like Pastor was saying, I think it was one of the elders was talking about the tongue. The tongue is the great indicator. The tongue could be very dangerous. It could be dominating, defiant, descriptive. What's down in the well will come up through the tongue. It's an accurate gauge of your heart. So tonight it's really about taking a self-examination of what's in your heart by your tongue. Like I said in the very beginning of this Bible study, if your last 3 days was recorded and you got to hear that recording, what would you hear? What would you hear? What would you listen to your own self saying? Would you be glad that you said it? Would you wince like, oh, my God, I can't believe I said that? The good news is tonight, you can repent. Tonight you have the chance to do that. You don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow morning So tonight you have the chance to do it. Right now you have the chance to do it. And, you know, I wrote this down. I've heard people say this before. God knows my heart. I've heard people say that a lot. And I wrote this down. We're often reassured by thinking that although our actions and words may have been wrong, that God knows our heart, and our heart is good after all. We probably are actually really showing our heart. But I read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 through 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So if you're going to use that statement, God knows my heart, be sure you know your heart. Be sure you know your heart. Does your actions and words line up with what really is in your heart? It's a self-examination. It's a self-examination. Jesus is getting us to the point, look, you got to be real about this thing. And I want to encourage everybody. I look at the YouTube every now and then, and, you know, everybody's talking about Jesus is soon to come. We don't know when Jesus is coming. But the question is, will you be ready? Are you ready? If he were to come tonight, are you ready? If he were to come tomorrow, Pastor, do you have anything to say?
Good, my sister. You're working. I'm enjoying that.
So I just want to remind, this is not tonight, but I just want to remind everybody to take a self-examination, to look at these scriptures. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Look at the fruit that you bear. Look at the fruit that comes out of your heart. Is it good fruit or is it rotten? Take the self-examination on tonight. If you need to get it right with God, get it right with him right now. Repent and ask God for forgiveness. Look at the words that are coming out of your mouth, which are coming from your heart. The word says to think on these things. And the reason we're to think on things of good report is because those things will come out of your mouth. But if you consistently feed yourself worldly things, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. That's what's going to come out of your heart. And that's why sometimes we walk around in fear. We walk around in confusion. We walk around with no peace because our mind is so bogged down with all those things. But we've got to get into the Word of God. So that ends my Bible study on tonight, and I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right. Once again, this has been another great, my God, Bible study, line upon line and precept upon precept. Thank God for the woman of God on tonight, Evangelist Dove Stanton. I'm getting some texts now from the saints. They are encouraged that you need some peppermint and water right about now because you show our teaching. So we are grateful. We are grateful tonight. Let's, as Evangelist told us, let's take self-inventory. Let's take self-inventory. You know, you think about a shopping center, or most stores anyway, they have to do inventory every now and then. Every few weeks or every few months, they have to do an inventory just to make sure that they have enough of the things that, of the product that they are selling, because some things are sold faster than others. And we need to do that. We need to take self-inventory. Those of you that those of us that are naming the name of Jesus Christ, that are claiming him, and that are telling others about him, let us take self-inventory to make sure that we are living the Christ that we're telling people about. So if you know, a lot of times we say stuff, but our life doesn't measure up to our testimony. So, you know, let's take heed. As the evangelist told us, you do have the right to remain silent. Okay, you can. And I was thinking as we close tonight, I was thinking about what person has more power? The person that can rival evil for evil, or the person that can rival good for good, or that other person that can do good in the face of evil? You know, and evangelist talked about it, it's easy to go back and forth with someone that's going back and forth with you, but, you know, you're on the same level. If I got to stoop down to that level and keep going back and forth, then that shows my immaturity. That shows that where I need to grow. And we just want to challenge all of us on tonight, let's grow. Let's practice being silent. You know, they tell you God gave you one mouth and two ears, because he wants us to listen twice as much than we speak. So we're grateful tonight. You know, we have the right to remain silent. No, you don't have to fight every battle. You know, no, you don't have to defend everything. You know, some things, just if you leave it alone, it'll pass over sooner. So we're just so grateful tonight. Thank you for those that all praise Tabernacle. We thank you, our London, England listeners, our brand new listeners. We pray that something was said on tonight that pricks your heart and that encourages your spirit. We also like to thank Elder Derek Oliver and his precious wife, Lady Oliver, and all the engineers for all his sponsors on Chaos Blog Talk Radio. Praise Tabernacle, we love you. Keep striving for the mastery. Keep striving lawfully for the mastery. Amen. And we're just so grateful. Meet us back here Tuesday night. Well, tonight is Tuesday. Meet us back Thursday night. Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. Once again, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. You can tune in right here, Chaos Blog Talk Radio, or you can find us on Facebook Live, 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Me and my precious wife, my lovely wife, my baby's mama, and all five of our children. Amen. We'll be honoring God and worshiping God and ministering to you on Thursday night. As we leave this place but never God's presence, we're grateful and we're honored for another excellent Bible study. God, we thank you for just another golden opportunity. We thank you that at the end of each service, we've been quoting Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, for now almost 12 years. We thank you for the doors that you're opening to us. To go ye therefore and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And you said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. And we bid you Godspeed until we meet again on Thursday night. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Good night.